What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And our topic today was actually voted on by our amazing patrons. We're going to be talking about caregiver burnout today.
Yeah. So relevant. I'm sure especially because we're all inside quarantine. So if you are somebody who's caring for, you know, an elderly parent, or maybe a spouse or a family member or friend or something, I'm sure you might be feeling that a little bit even more so right now.
Definitely. As always, if you want to be part of our Patreon and be able to vote on upcoming show topics, you can join at patreon.com/selfhelpless and join there. Super, super great way to spend like $5 every month, and you get bonus episodes from us, which is lots of fun.
Indeed.
We have a quotable. Delaney, do you want to read that quotable?
Oh, sure. This is from Daisaku Ikeda. Hopefully that was right.
Buddhist philosopher.
Yes, Buddhist philosopher, but submitted by one of our helpsters, Michael. And it says, even if things don't unfold the way you expected, don't be disheartened or give up. One who continues to advance will win in the end.
That's a good quote about perseverance, huh? Yes.
Yeah. Love that.
Very sweet.
Nice one. So why are we talking about caregiver burnout? As statistics show, millions of Americans serve as unpaid family caregivers for a loved one. These caregivers might feel forced to choose between their careers and caring for their aging parents or grandparents. Yet it is a topic that's not discussed that often. But many people will become caregivers. For example, in his 30s, actor Rob Lowe was a caregiver for his mother during her stage 4 breast cancer diagnosis. I didn't know that. Rob Lowe said about his experience, "It was not a role I was expecting to land. It didn't come with much preparation, but it turned out to be one of the most rewarding things I've ever done and undeniably one of the most difficult."
Yeah.
The mental, physical, and emotional stress of caregiving, often not reported or treated, taxes many people, yet few caregivers feel comfortable discussing these challenges.
Definitely. I mean, we've talked about emotional labor on the podcast a lot, and it's like how so hard to quantify the amount that goes into being a caregiver. And often not a lot of structure to it. You don't really know how long you might end up being a caregiver, if the person's condition is going to improve. It's a lot of unknowns.
Yeah. I can't imagine being, I mean, a professional caregiver even right now, right? Like, you know, if you're, you know, working in hospital or, you know, hospice nurse or all those types of things, like, that's just part of the job too, where I can't, you know, how to balance all that. And then, you know, like, because we're all quarantined right now too, if like, you know, people out there who have children with special needs and stuff like that, a lot of them might be finding it difficult to like get access to their like usual, like, you know, kind of therapy or whatever that might be, where they go somewhere for a couple hours and maybe give the parent a little bit of time to themselves. Like, I think a lot of that stuff is not really, you know, happening, maybe virtually. Yeah, I think this is a super important topic to discuss right now, especially.
So what is caregiver burnout specifically? Taking care of a loved one who has dementia, physical disabilities, or other conditions that makes demands on your time, energy, and emotions. It demands that, as the Cleveland Clinic warns, can easily seem overwhelming. Caregiving can tax your patients and foster fatigue, frustration, and guilt, becoming a grueling grind that takes a heavy toll on the caregiver's body and mind. A 2018 study from insurance firm Genworth found that 41% of caregivers experience depression, mood swings, and resentment as a result of their labors. Over time, that physical and psychological wear and tear can lead to a caregiver burnout, a condition of feeling exhausted, listless, and unable to cope. It can cause caregivers to make mistakes that could endanger a loved one, such as mismanaging medication, or lead to unhealthy behaviors like smoking or alcohol abuse. That's why watching for the signs of caregiver burnout and taking proactive steps to deal with it before it spirals out of control is important.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's so important to take care of yourself if you're a caregiver, which can often seem probably just like so unrealistic to do so when you feel like tethered to somebody in that way. But it's almost like, okay, if you really want to take care of that person, you have to take care of yourself first. Like I would have to spin it like that, because I would be somebody very prone to caregiver burnout, and I've experienced it a little bit. But I would have to constantly remind myself, wait a minute, if I want to show up for this person to the best of my ability, I have to take care of me first before I do so. So if I really love that person, I got to go take a break, you know, and you know, do whatever I have to do. The causes of caregiver burnout, along with the heavy workload and emotional demands of family caregiving, these issues can also contribute to burnout. Conflicting demands. It's hard to balance the needs of the care recipient, coworkers and employers, family members, and yourself. Lack of control. You may feel unable to manage your money and resources. You may also feel you don't have the skills needed to effectively manage a loved one's care. Lack of privacy. As you provide care, it may leave you with little time to be alone. Role confusion. You may have difficulty separating your roles as caregiver and as the parent, sibling, or spouse of the care recipient. Unreasonable demands. Other family members or the person in need of care may place unreasonable demands upon the time, resources, and emotional capacity of a caregiver. And finally, unrealistic expectations. Some caregivers or other family members have unrealistic hopes for the effect their caregiving efforts will have on loved ones. Oh my gosh. It just sounds overwhelming just reading all that, you know?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine. And like, I know not every, and the shitty part is not everybody is able to get the professional help they need, you know, like not everybody has the resources to, you know, get like a professional in to care for somebody full time, or like, you know, put somebody in a group home or whatever that might be. I have a lot of compassion for people who are going through that, because that is a lot to juggle. And like, everybody has their opinion. Everybody's going to insert their opinion about so-and-so taking care of so-and-so, or like, why aren't they doing it this way? Or I would be able to do it better. Like, I'm sure there's so many family dynamics too that go along with that, depending on who the caretaker is and like what their role is in the family, like, you know, before they take on that role. I don't know. Do you guys have any kind of thoughts or experiences with this?
I'm relating super, super hard to all of this. I went through being a caregiver for, it was maybe like a 6 month or so period of time, pretty intensely, and then turned into more of like, it was still weighing on me emotionally, but I wasn't physically in person having to do as much of the caregiving at that point.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But I don't have any sort of medical background. And I think a lot of people, when they get kind of suddenly thrust into that caregiver role, you go from 0 to 100, like one day your life was this. And then all of a sudden, all of the rest of your priorities in life are knocked down to put the priority in taking care of a loved one. And you don't have any structure. So that's why I think a lot of the symptoms of caregiver burnout are pretty intense, because like no one's telling you, hey, take breaks from this. And in my situation, I didn't feel like I was allowed to take breaks, because it felt like it was my responsibility to make sure that this person was okay during this really hard time. And, it's true where it's like, well, if you're not getting any sleep, if you're getting really irritable, if you're getting, you know, all these things, then you aren't able to perform your abilities as a caregiver at their best. Like when you have to provide medication, that's where that shit can get dangerous. Of like, if you're not up to par with how you should be caregiving, then that can be slippery. But I mean, fortunately with that situation, things are a lot better now, but it's interesting how quickly I get triggered by even just I just was doing it for like 6 months pretty intensely. And I still, if something comes up, that's almost like a little bit of a flare up, I crumble immediately. Like I get really emotional really fast if I feel like it might swing back toward that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so tough, dude. For me, it was a relatively short period. But for me, it was like, I didn't feel like I could even relax, you know, like even if you are trying to take a break, it can be hard to just clear your head and not be thinking, oh God, is that other person okay if I'm gone right now? Like, what are they up to? Like, you know, that whole just kind of cycle of thought. So I feel like it can also be hard just allowing yourself to relax or even enjoy yourself when you know somebody that you love is struggling in some way. Where you kind of maybe almost feel guilty if you do have a nice time away from them or whatever that might be. And I would say, I feel like I've been kind of an emotional caregiver in a lot of ways, like for my whole life off and on. And so something that I kind of thought was maybe a normal role to play, for this person, I don't think really was a lot of the time. And so I feel like the emotional labor episode might be a good one to listen to. I think Kelsey mentioned it, if you're also kind of identifying with this, because that, if you have that kind of dull, like, you know, caregiver role, kind of like that's what you feel like you are kind of constantly, then adding this on top of it too can really throw you over, you know, put you over the edge.
Warning signs of caregiver burnout: anger or frustration toward the person you're caring for, denial about your loved one's condition, depression, exhaustion that makes it tough to complete daily tasks, health problems such as getting sick more often, inability to concentrate that makes it difficult to perform familiar tasks or causes you to forget appointments, irritability and moodiness, sleeplessness, and social withdrawal from friends and activities you used to enjoy. It makes total sense. I mean, if you're already overwhelmed,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, and you're not sleeping and you're depressed, of course you're going to withdraw from friends and family and activities that you don't have to do because you have so much on you that feels like necessary.
It's such a domino effect too. It's like, if because of this, you're getting stressed out, then it's also like, you're probably not going to sleep very well. And then when you're not sleeping very well, you become irritable. And when you're irritable, you usually are more quick to anger. And it just, I went through that so many times during the period of time I was being a caregiver, where it's like you feel so guilty to like snap at that person or be angry at them or irritable, because you know that like they're not choosing to experience whatever illness, whether it's mental or physical, that they're going through. It's like a sense, it's a real thing that's happening to them, but it's like you're angry at the world that it is happening to them. You're angry that they can't just like snap out of it, even though, you know, as somebody who like struggles with a lot of anxiety, anytime somebody's been like, just don't be anxious, you're like, oh, cool, thanks so much, I guess I'll go fuck myself.
Right.
People who like don't get that that's not how it works. And it's so true. Like, it's easy when you're on the receiving end of somebody maybe not being in a good place mentally, where you're just frustrated and you just want to be like, oh, just go back to being the person that you've always been. Like, why are you doing this? And it's so much more complicated than that. But I got to a point where I was like really quick to anger and very irritable, because I just was, it's just a lot. It's just taxing.
Yeah. Oh, I'd imagine like every new parent goes through this too, right?
Mm. I was going to say that. Yeah.
Big time caregiver with a freaking baby who can't do anything on its own because they just are not like real people yet. So you're just, ooh, that's a lot. That is a lot.
Seriously.
So some tips to reduce caregiver stress: give yourself a break. Ask a friend or relative to fill in for you for a few hours occasionally so you can take a walk, watch a movie, or go out to dinner. If you don't have that sort of informal support available or feel you need more structured care, look into other options through the Access to Respite Care and Help, ARCH, National Respite the right word?
Yeah, I think
Network
so.
And Resource Center's National Respite Locator, which can help you find adult daycare centers and home care services in your area. Oh, that's great. So yeah, look up ARCH for more info about them. And then simplify your communication. Keeping extended family and friends up to date about your loved one's situation through phone calls or individual emails can be tiring, and you may not want to broadcast that information on social media. So try using a website like CaringBridge, Post Hope, or My Lifeline that allows you to post updates for everyone simultaneously, to protect your loved one's privacy. Oh, that's amazing. I wish that's I would have so known smart. About that, honestly, because that was... Oh my God, that was definitely adding to the burnout in my situation too, is like updating everybody individually. So I just ended up like appointing one person, like, okay, I will call you at the end of each day to give you an update, and then you can please just fill in everybody else.
Smart.
So like just delegating something like that is so helpful.
Yeah.
And then tap into online resources. The U.S. government's Elder Care Locator can connect you with your local area agency on aging, which can guide you to resources in your community to help you deal with the challenges you're facing. With the Community Resource Finder, an online database from AARP and the Alzheimer's Association, you can find a range of programs and services in your area, from elder law attorneys to transportation. The Family Caregiver Alliance's Family Care Navigator can help you locate local resources too. So nice that there's several options. And then also join a support group. If you feel like you're alone in your struggle, talking with other family caregivers can lift your spirits and help you think through solutions to various problems. You may be able to find a support group through a local church or hospital or at the website of the Well Spouse Association, which coordinates a national network of groups for spousal caregivers. AARP has an online caregiving forum and a Facebook discussion group where caregivers can share information and advice, and the Family Caregiver Alliance operates an online support group that communicates via email. Well, that's some good resources. Definitely check those out.
Yeah. I also, Emma, if you're comfortable, you reached out and mentioned to me that you used to work and special needs. By the way, Emma is our amazing engineer and editor. If you're on YouTube right now, you can see her jump in. And you said that you might be able to speak to this topic well, so I'd love to hear what you have to say.
I didn't realize this is what you guys were doing before we started today. But yeah, my brother's a special needs adult who requires full-time one-on-one care. Wow. And I worked for his care program for a couple summers when I was in college. Wow. So, and I have a lot of family that works in it too.
Okay. So how, you know, what about this, like, do you relate with the most? What can you...
Well, especially during COVID right now, which is, I kind of assume why people wanted to talk about this, where like my brother's program was shut. They had to close. Wow. So he didn't have his one-on-one care. So he was home with my parents, and he's physically very healthy. He's just mentally disabled. So we're lucky in that regard. But for a lot of families, that's a lot of work. It's like, especially the feeding tubes and wheelchairs and all of those kind of things. So it's not having your normal care system. Like, my brother's usually in care from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. And so him being home is a big difference for my parents, especially with them working from home. Like, they're there, but they're working. So he's watching a lot of movies, and like, he's very confused and very bored. And it's hard to, it's like having a child at home, but like a 6 foot tall child who requires way more attention.
Yeah. Oh my
God. And it's so tough because, you know, his usual caregivers, right? Like, people go to school for this, you know, they're trained in so many different things. They take classes, they get degrees and certifications. And it's like, and then when it falls on somebody who doesn't have that, it's like, you have to just kind of do the best with what you have. And that can just be like, you have to, it's almost like you have to do like research on top of, you know, caregiving.
And a lot of those caregivers who have all that education, and they tend to be like the saints of the world. They're like the kindest people, the most patient, and they get paid dirt. Like, they make virtually no money, but they do it because they love the work. But they usually have to have so many jobs that the burnout is so common, because you can't stop working because you got to pay your bills.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Like, right now with like all these programs closed, like, so many people are doing so many jobs that they never signed up for, or like that they're not used to doing, on top of the jobs that they're already trying to do, like remotely or whatever.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's so nuts. Wow. Thank you for jumping on and giving anytime. Us some insight.
Thanks for talking about it. It's such an important thing that people don't talk about that often. So it's nice to hear people are interested in learning about it.
Yeah. Thank our patrons for voting it in. It's a great topic.
Such good perspective for those of us who are whining about whining about having to pivot career wise. I'm like, oh, I have to learn how to use a green screen to stay relevant. Like, people are learning harder jobs.
Oh man.
Yeah. Well, to piggyback on what Emma was saying, how, like, you know, a lot of the people working in the caregiving business do it because they genuinely love the work. Here are just some positive aspects of caregiving. The American Psychological Association recently cited a 2014 survey citing that 84% of caregivers viewed caregiving as a positive experience. That's really interesting to me. That's like a very high percentage, because I didn't feel that way about it as it was happening. Like, I mean, it made me, the feeling of when that person can potentially get better is such a wonderful feeling. But as it was happening, I wasn't like equipped for it, I don't think. But the caregiver survey
report. There's a big difference between taking care of someone who's sick, who has the ability to like get better someday, and someone who is permanently disabled, where you're not really trying to get them to a different place. You're just trying to enrich the life that they already have. And I think those can be a little different reward-wise as the caregiver.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Especially if somebody maybe like comes into this world already in that state, and you kind of know going into it, like, okay, this is what their life is going to look like.
Right.
Compared to somebody who's maybe been a certain way their whole life, been healthy, you expect a certain set of behavior from them. And then all of a sudden it's like they're behaving like a different person. That's very jarring and kind of hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. And just one last thing, the caregiver surveyed reported these positive experiences from caregiving: a sense of giving back to someone who has cared for them, the satisfaction of knowing that their loved one is getting excellent care, personal growth, increased meaning and purpose in one's life, and some caregivers feel that they are passing on a tradition of care. And I think some of that touches on, Delaney, what you're talking about with having kids. I know that people talk about, like, even though it can be so hard, that it gives you so much more meaning and purpose in your life than you maybe wouldn't have if you didn't have them.
Yeah. And even like when I was, you know, kind of in a caretaker role not too long ago, it's like, I did feel like I wanted to be the one helping make these decisions for that person. Like I wanted to be there and take on the responsibility. And I did feel like, well, like, you know, it should be me over anybody else. So I do understand that too, where like I was very, you know, I was so grateful that I have built the career that I've built where I can leave whenever I need to. That really hit me hard during that period of time where I'm like, wow, I'm able to really clear my schedule. Nothing is affected and go take care of this person. Yeah. But yeah, I kind of felt like a responsibility. Like I did want to be there to give back to that. To that person, but it didn't make it any easier.
Yeah. Definitely. So yeah, that's our meat, the meat of that subject. We have an iTunes review. Tay, do you want to read the iTunes review?
Sure. This is from Scientists 24. This is the best. I only recently started listening amidst quarantining and have been so happy to have this in my ear as an escape and comfort during this crazy time. And I'll be listening to long after this. Oh, that's so nice. That's
very sweet.
That's so good.
Oh, I'm going to sneak away while you guys do segments.
Well, wait, Emma, do you have a segment?
I was going to say, Emma, you should have a segment.
You're now our guest,
Emma.
I feel unprepared. I mean, I have a new rug. I have a new rug showing up for my office today that will make my recordings a lot easier for myself. So I guess that's a little bit of a treat yourself.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yourself, baby. That's awesome.
Yeah. There you go.
Thanks, awesome. Emma. Thanks for jumping on, Emma.
Of course. Anytime. I'll let you guys finish up.
Okay. Thanks.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So do you guys have segments?
Always.
You start.
Okay, what do I got? Let me pull it up. I guess I have a good shit. You know who I really want to give a shout out to? Freaking Patrick Nicely. Just the greatest guy. I think we've mentioned him before, but graphic designer, does websites, logos, all the things. And I finally launched my new website, DelaneyFisher.com, updated it. To where it now fits like more of what I do currently. I think it was like pretty comedy heavy still up until this point. And I'm like, time to change and rebrand. I just want to basically give Patrick a shout out because seriously, he's made every website I've ever needed, you know, most logos I've ever needed, like packaging inserts, just anything I've needed for design, he has just crushed. And I really can sincerely say that I don't think my businesses would be as successful without his help the past several years.
Oh, that's nice.
So you guys, if you are looking for a graphic designer, whether it's a logo or a website, you can reach out to patricknicely@gmail.com. It sounds just like it, or it's what it spells just like it sounds. Mm-hmm. Last name, N-I-C-E-L-Y. But didn't he also do your, some cover art for you, Kels, like your album and Kane's album and stuff? Didn't Patrick do those?
Yeah, he helped me so many times in the last few years. And even just recently, I reached out to him to help download my set from A Little Late with Lily Singh. So I had like the video file of it. He's just the best. He's like a jack of all trades. Anything with like graphic design or tech, he helped me with like the final touches on my website and with my album cover, Kane's album. Like, he's wonderful. So yeah, shout out to Patrick.
Yeah. Oh, and he made the Self-Helpless cover. But yeah, I think he's my segment. He's my good shit segment. He's definitely like more than a designer too. Like, you can give him an idea and he's super creative himself and he can just like make it look better than you ever thought imaginable. So go show Patrick some love, people.
He's the best. Tay, do you have a segment?
Yeah, I guess this is a good shit. So I'm sure that people have seen like much more famous people than I am doing this. But I am now on this app. It's an app that I have on my phone that allows people to basically text a second phone number I have. Like Whitney does it and Bert does it. And like, I think J-Lo is on, like, there's all these people on it. And, when I first heard about it, I was like, I don't want to do that. I was like, that sounds like just more work. I was like, I don't want to get texts and stuff. And, I've been talking to like my team and stuff about the last few months. And it's so funny. We finally got it going and launched it yesterday. And I saw somebody commented today, and I've seen them comment this on other comedians too, where somebody said, like, is she selling our information? Like, is she selling our phone numbers or something, like, to ads? And I was like, honestly, I would probably think the exact same thing.
Right.
If I were them, I'd be like, what the fuck is this? Like, that's very much my energy as well. So I responded, and I'll say it here too for anybody who's like, I don't know about that. I think all you have to do is put in your phone number and your name, your age, and your location. And it's essentially just signing up for an email list, but over text. Like, in the same way that you go to someone's website and you go, here's my email, I want to hear updates when you're going places. So it's like that, except I may actually respond to you. May, because I got so many. I got like 4,000 texts in a day.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
It's insane.
Shit.
On your to your phone, or you have to open up the app to see it, right?
It's an app. It's an app on my phone, but the app, like, I'll show you. When I open the app, it just looks like my texts. Like, it's wild. And
that overwhelming? Are you excited about it?
I mean, it's a little overwhelming. So like, that's the app right there. It just looks iMessages. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
So
that's nuts.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. I did not think that it was going to be that many that quickly, but it is cool because when you text it, you get like an auto reply that I wrote that says like, hey, you'll be like texting me directly if you just fill out this quick form. Again, it's like name, age, location. And it's just so when I like come to where you are, like New York, I can text you direct to your phone and just like, hey, I'm in New York next month, that kind of
thing. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And also, like, there are a bunch of people who are like, is this actually you? And obviously, I don't know that I'm going to be able to respond to all of these, to be quite honest with you. But yeah, on those, I've been like trying to send selfies. Just be like, it's me.
Oh, it's my God. That's so funny.
Which I've seen Whitney do it a bunch, and it's so funny. What, like, people just don't believe it. And again, I would not either. But like, I'll be straight with you guys. I don't run my TikTok. I don't touch it. I've spent like 2 half-hour increments in the last week watching TikTok, and I will say it is a great distraction.
Like, lots of fun.
I get why TikTok is blowing up right now. It is. If I weren't in quarantine, I don't know that I would have gotten into it. But now that I'm in quarantine, if I just need to like turn my brain off for a minute, I'm like, let's go watch hot people do the same dance.
It's candy.
It is. It's just candy. It's just Twizzlers on your phone. But my point is, if you use the phone number, you just go to my Instagram and there's like now a little button that says text on it. And you can just hit that and it'll like open up a text thing in your phone with me. If you do text me, send me a message that says Self-Helpless or Helpster or Kelsey or Delaney in the message, because I am able to filter messages I get with like certain keywords. So I have like different folders also in addition to all those texts. So I did this so I wouldn't miss helpsters. Those texts get saved to a folder specifically labeled self-helpless.
Say hi to them.
Yeah.
That's nice. Oh, that's really sweet.
So those are like my first priority.
That's so cute. That's so nice.
Oh, I love that. Oh my God. So go text Taylor, everybody. And make sure you mention self-helpless or a helpster so you get a better chance of getting a response.
Yes.
For sure. Yay. That's awesome. I have kind of a good shit, I guess. It's like a pending good shit. But so we did our self-helpless makeup challenge and that went on YouTube a week ago at this point. So if you haven't watched on YouTube, go watch it. We had so much fun. We basically all hopped on Zoom and Taylor and Delaney tried to do their makeup like me as I instructed them over Zoom.
Keyword tried.
There was an incident with a beauty blender that will haunt my dreams forever.
I threw it away this morning. I tried to use it this morning because I was going to send you a picture and go, look, it still works. And it absolutely did not.
I told you to burn that right then. How do you know you still have it?
I forgot and I threw it away this morning.
Oh my God.
I thought I was like, it's also a bad beauty blender. I've had beauty blenders before that I did that to until they were gone and they worked fine.
The first time you'd done that?
No.
I don't understand how so many things escaped your guys's knowledge center of like how to take care of a beauty blender. Like literally nobody else.
I've never even owned a beauty blender.
Well, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I'm way ahead of her.
Yeah, but it's still like so far behind society, both of you. It's just, anyway, if you haven't watched it on YouTube, it's on the Self-Helpless podcast channel on YouTube and you should go watch it. But Taylor posted a picture of her like after beauty look on her Instagram and I posted as well, Delaney posted. And I was absolutely shocked by how many people commented saying like, I will pay money to have Kelsey teach me how to do my makeup. Like, please make an online course. Please make videos for this. And I had been pretty resistant to doing something like this for a long time. And Delaney, good old business coach Delaney, had been in my ear dropping hints for months and months and months now, telling me I needed to do an online makeup course. Yeah. And I was having a lot of imposter syndrome over it. And I think it took seeing so many comments from all these people online, some of them helpsters, some of them not helpsters. And it just made me feel like, okay, I really have no more excuse now because I'm actually hearing from people that they want me to do this. Yes. It's not just like a cool sounding idea. It's a real thing. So there's really no better time than quarantine to throw myself into a new project. So I am in the process of planning and then about to start shooting an online makeup course.
There you go.
Very excited. And obviously there will be a big announcement here on the podcast when it is live and ready to go for those of you who are interested in learning about makeup. So
there you go, baby. Yeah. Stay tuned. And please welcome my newest client, Kelsey Cook.
A truly thriving artist.
Happy to be on board.
I am so excited. I have to say, I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have watched the video, so you know, but like, first off, I already went back. I had to do an at-home shoot for something yesterday, and I went back and watched that video.
I'm so happy.
Kelsey made with, I watched me on a video doing my makeup with Kelsey guiding me. Because like, it's one thing to have makeup tutorials that are like by these YouTube beauty gurus who have all the most cutting edge shit.
Right.
Right.
Of like, this is my highlighter. It was $200 and you can only get it if you're verified, but just do whatever you want. And to have Kelsey straight up on Zoom with us personally, like going, hold up what you have, you trash fire of a woman. And then we go, this is what we have. It's something you gave us. And which color do I use? Like, That is so, I cannot tell you. I have never done my makeup that well in my entire life. Yeah. And I'm still using things I learned on that call with you, like every day since.
Thank you.
The one thing that I really need to practice is the eyeshadow stuff. So I'm excited for your course. But like, seriously, like I remember Kelsey said this early on. I don't know if you said it on the podcast or if you just said it to us interpersonally, but you were like, there's so many tutorials on YouTube. And it's like, yeah, but that's different. That's like,
yeah,
it's not the same. And people do want to learn how to do their makeup right now, even though we're all staying home, because like, we're still having Zoom calls. We're still taking selfies. <That's true. laughs> We're still filming videos. Like, we got to know.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, and I had so much fun teaching you guys. Like, it really lit up a different part of my brain, because I don't have that feeling when I'm doing comedy. I'm not like teaching anybody anything, but there's something so like gratifying to me to tell you guys, hey, okay, if you do your makeup like this, as opposed to this way that you've been doing it, that maybe isn't as like beneficial, might not look the best way in a certain technique, to watch you guys change it and see in real time how beautiful it looks. It's like, oh, it's awesome. It's so much fun. And I know, you know, makeup's silly and we all should strive to feel like beautiful without makeup as well. But I fucking love makeup and how it can make people feel special. So I'm really excited to like dive in and just teach and like give more tips and techniques and yeah, I'm not going to be not, I mean, and I love so many YouTube beauty, gurus, but yeah, there are definitely ones out there who, cater more to like a certain clientele where they are applying, you know, like you said, a $200 highlighter with like a dolphin's fin. And it's like, okay, well, you know, I feel like a lot of the people who have left comments saying that they're wanting me to do an online course are people who are like, hey, I genuinely don't know even where to start with makeup.
Yes.
Like, and I'm not looking to go to the club like five nights a week. I'm looking for like, I need some basics. I need like an everyday sort of look. Teach me some stuff like that. So I'm really excited.
I would love I think we should all do another one first off, when your course is available or whenever, because it was very fun. I would love to do another one after I have purchased things that you think would be helpful now that you've seen what I am in possession of. Yes. I would love to go back and do another one when you're like, okay, did you get a brush like this?
Yeah.
Because that made it hard last time. You know what I mean?
Well, there's so many videos on YouTube where it's like a certain challenge. Like, have you seen the baby hands challenge?
What? No.
Okay, YouTube beauty gurus as like a funny thing bought, you know, Kristen Wiig's character on SNL where she had the baby hands.
Yeah.
So people went and bought the baby hands online and did their makeup using only baby hands.
What? That's hysterical.
Like
that's
they held so on to the handles of them and then used little baby hands with brushes and like tried to like apply mascara.
No.
So, but it's as hilarious as it is, it's also showcasing that like it's the importance of tools with makeup. It's a huge difference when you're using the right brush or the right technique. It's not just the product.
Yeah.
It's so much of it is the tool. So yeah, I would be very curious, Tay, to see how different things would go if you had the right tools. And
yes,
Delaney and I, when we had our business Zoom meeting about making the online course, Delaney suggested it would be great to not only shoot these videos to have the online course, but to also offer people, like, if you want me to do a one-on-one 30-minute makeup session with you over Zoom, I can offer that as well if people watching wanted a more personalized experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm really excited.
Yes.
Thank you guys for pushing me to do it. I appreciate it.
I'm glad you got there.
I know. It was a live imposter syndrome and you know, people shit on comedians sometimes for not being like only hardcore comedy all the time, and makeup is such a, you know, can be looked at as such like a fluffy thing that is not at all comedy. But I don't know. I'd like to think that when I do the videos, I can still be myself and try to be funny in them, but still teach people stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
We also only feel that way because we don't know how to do makeup. You know? You know, when you're just like, I think that's stupid. It's like, you just don't know how. That's how I am.
It's a weird skill set I've acquired. But yeah, so anyway, that's my good shit. It'll be coming soon. I'm excited to start shooting everything.
Sweet!
Yay! All right, well.
Anything else for this episode? Hey, if you guys want to binge some more episodes, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelplist. What do we got, like 52, 53 episodes up there?
Yeah, 52 hours.
And, you know, if you guys have never subscribed to Patreon, those are us responding to all of your emails. So when you guys write in with recommendations and advice questions and just, you know, anything that you send us, that's us answering, you know, responding to you guys and giving you guys, you know, as best advice as we can offer, for, you know, with our own experiences and stuff. And also there's fun little rewards and stuff on there as well. So yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, might be a nice little quarantine treat, little Patreon. Mm.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kelsey?
Yeah.
$5 a month. That's nothing. I was going to say, we have a segment on our Patreon called Deep Shit as well, where we reveal real. If you're looking to be in on the stuff.
Ground floor, baby.
Ground floor. Yeah, there's stuff on Patreon that we'll probably never say on the public show.
Oh, never. Definitely not. Never. never. But yeah, come hang out on Patreon if you guys want. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah.
Bye. All right, we love you. Bye. Stay safe. Bye.
Love you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content and ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dicks by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on ttomcomedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. You guys can find me at kelseycook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at kelseycookcomedy. Twitter is at kelseycook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.